Some of the greatest joys in our life, our personal life, comes when a great project is finally over and we get to sit back and enjoy the accomplishments. And such was the case with the nation of Israel. They had conquered the promised land and it belonged to them. Not all of it yet, but most of it. I will tell you that. Most of it was conquered. And so our writer here in Joshua brings us to chapter 12 and he's going to review what was all was taken. So the review starts with the land that was taken by Moses on the east side of the Jordan River while he was still in charge. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land whom the sons of Israelite defeated and whose land they possessed beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. From the valley of Arnon as far as Mount Hermon and all the Arabah to the east. So the valley of Arnon is above the valley the river Arnon, which is about right there in the middle of the Dead Sea. It runs from east to west and dumps into the Dead Sea. Just below that, the land is controlled by Moab. You remember him because he is one of Lot's sons. And remember, Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And so it runs in there. Mount Hermon is way to the north, by the way. We've got this Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Sea of Chinnereth in our text today. And up back here is a lake called Meron, and that lake is there. And just over to the northeast is a Mount Hermon. And all this land on this side that did not belong to Ammon, Ammon was Moab's brother. Moses didn't take any of Ammon's land because he was a relative. But the land in between here is the land that Moses took all the way from the Arnon River, which was the border with Moab, all the way to Mount Hermon. They're on the at the top there. Mount Hermon is in this lush, beautiful fields, has below it. They're called the Fields of Bashan. It's historic for having the wonderful cows of Bashan, beautiful, wonderful cows that were great for their eating purposes and all of that. They fed and they did wonderful there. So that top land up here in the very north was controlled by Og, and the land here in the middle, which we're fixing to see the borders of, was controlled by King Sihon. So our writer tells us then of the land from King Sihon that Moses took. King Sihon was an Amorite. Verse 2a says, King Sihon of the Amorite who lived in Heshbon. Well, here's what the word Heshbon means, stronghold. And there's a mountain range, if you remember, that's going through here. Mount Nebo is about right there. You go over from Mount Nebo and head over towards the King's Highway. That's this black line coming through here. King's Highway was the route. It was a major trade route so that you didn't have to go all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea to come down if you wanted to go way on down like to Mount Sinai or whatever, or down into the land of Midian. Heshbon set on the King's Highway as a major city that was there. Now the writer continues to speak of Sihon and his home in verse 2b. He says, and ruled from Aor, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, both the middle of the valley and half of Gilead, even as far as the brook Jabbok, and border of the sons of Ammon, and the Arabah as far as the Sea of Chinnereth toward the east, and as far as the Sea of Arabah, even the Salt Sea, eastward toward Beth Jeshimoth, and on the south at the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. Okay, let's break all that down. The Valley of Arnon sits on the ridge of the River Arvon right there, and it's his home is right about there in the middle of Moab's land. Now, let me break this down quick, and I just want to show it to you this way. Let me get a marker here so it's something that you can see. I've already got it up there once, but I'm going to draw over it. King Sihon's land started here on the Arnon River and ran up the Jordan River all the way to Sea of Chinnereth, then came back down the Arabah. This is the sandy area that's on the east side of the banks of the Jordan River. Came to the Jabbok, turned, went up the Jabbok, and then made a turn on the other side of the King's Highway, in and out above the King's Highway, down to the Arnon and back. That is Sihon's land. That was the Amorite king that attacked Moses and the children of Israel. And when they fought back, the Lord had said, I'm going to put them in your hands. King Sihon was fantastically powerful. And yet the Lord said, they're greater than you by multiple times, but I will put them into your hands. And the Lord did that. Runs all the way up to Sea of Chemereth, which is the Sea of Galilee as we know it in the New Testament. So our writer then speaks of King Og and his land that is north of Zion's land, and we see that in 4b. And the territory of Gog, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of the Rephaim, who lived at Ashtoreth and at Edrei. Now, with that, we come to a new set of details. King Og had two capitals. One was about right there. That was Ashtaroth, and the other was just down on the king's highway in Edrei. Ashtaroth means of the two horns. It is due east of the Sea of Chinnereth, due east of the Sea of Chinnereth or Galilee. And then it's about 25 miles from Damascus, and Damascus is right up here. And Edrei sits in its ruins today. And it is southeast of Ashtoreth, about 10 miles southeast. And it's totally in ruins today. Now, it was an oasis nearby, by the right way. And the ruins of Edrei were destroyed after the destruction of Moses. And it is interesting because those ruins that are there at Edrei are about 3 miles in circumference. It is a huge destruction. Moses and the nation of Israel did a great destruction on that city. Now, as for Og the Amorite, the writer tells us of his nation in verse 5. And ruled over Mount Hermon and Selkab and all of Bashan, as far as the border of the Gershites and the Machathites, and half of Gilead, as far as the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the sons of Israel defeated them, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh as a possession. So basically, Gog ruled from the Jabbok River in this little curve all the way to Mount Hermon and up, but we have some Gershites and some Machathites that live right here above this Lake Merom that he did not control, okay? He didn't control that. But what happens is Moses takes all this land from and takes it into the control, and he gives the land to the Reubens, the Gads, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. All right. When Moses took the land of Sion on that east side, it became promised land. All the way from the border north of Moab all the way to Mount Hermon, it was the promised land. The writer then reviews the land taken by Joshua on the east side of the promised land. And for that, I'm going to use maps on our video instead of here on the board. Verse 7. Now these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the sons of Israel defeated beyond the Jordan toward the west. From Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even as far as Mount Halak, which rise toward Seir. And Joshua gave it to the tribe of Israel as a possession according to their divisions in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, on the slopes, and in the wilderness, and in the Negev, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Well, Baal-Gad was a village in the valley of Lebanon, west of the mountain range that held Mount Hermon. It was the border of Lebanon to the east. The writer mentions Mount Halak, which rises towards Seir. We have not located Mount Halak for sure to this day. However, we do know exactly where Mount Seir stands. It is the mountain range on the east side of the Jordan River below the Dead Sea that extends to the shores of the Sea of Aqaba in the south. The northern shore of Aqaba is the furthest southern point of the Promised Land. Therefore, the writer has named the furthest north and the furthest south points of the Promised Land is what he's done. All the way from that point on the border with Lebanon to the point of the border down at the Sea of Aqaba, all the way through all the Canaanite tribes and all the Canaanite descendants, they're all mentioned in this passage. Now, to end this section of the review, the writer names the 31 kings eliminated by Joshua and the nation in the campaign of the Promised Land, verse 9. The king of Jericho, 1. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, 1. The king of Jerusalem, 1. The king of Hebron, 1. The king of Jarmuth, 1. The king of Lachish, 1. The king of Eglon, 1. The king of Gezer, 1. The king of Debir, 1. The king of Geder, 1. The king of Hormah, 1. The king of Arad, 1. The king of Libna, 1. The king of Abdullam, 1. The king of Makkada, 1. The king of Bethel, 1. The king of Tapu, 1. The king of Hefer, 1. The king of Akapath, 1. The king of Lasharon, 1. The king of Bedan, 1. The king of Hazar, 1. The king of Simron Meron, 1. The king of Ashkaphath, 1. The king of Tanakh, 1. The king of Megiddo, 1. The king of Kadesh, 1. The king of Jokneam in Carmel, 1. The king of Dor in the heights of Dor, 1. The king of Goim in Gilgal, 1. The king of Tirzah, 1. In all, 31 kings. These kings are in no specific order. However, they are in groups, the central being the first, the southern being the second, and the northern kings are the third in the groups. But with the beginning of chapter 13, and we're already there, by the way, we discover that there was land still to be possessed and taken in the Promised Land, and we have to ask the question, why? And the answer really is just because of Joshua's age. So picking up with chapter 13 and verse 1, we hear this. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed." Well, the Lord does not tell Joshua to stop the campaign. He simply reminds Joshua of his age and that there is still more land to be taken for the Promised Land. The writer then describes the land yet to be taken by Joshua. And he starts with the general description of the regions of the Philistines in verse 2. This is the land that remains. All the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Gershites from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron to the north. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkenazites, the Gittites, the Ekronites, and the Ivites to the south. Okay, Joshua had truly taken none of the Philistine land just north of the Sea of Chinnereth. The Philistine descendants of Gershon land are the Gershites. They controlled a strip of land about the width of the Sea of Galilee and north to about Hazar. So we're talking here north of the Sea of Galilee and going north. They had not taken that land. Joshua explained that first. Now, Sihor, which is the unofficial Hebrew name of the Nile River. Did you catch that? Because that name was in there too. That's the unofficial name of the Nile River right here. Jeremiah calls the Nile Sihor in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 18. And with this mention, the writer is telling us that the Philistine-controlled lands of the great, next to the Great Sea here, this controlled land of the Philistines, we call this the Gaza Strip, all the way around to the Nile, and this area that's up here where the Gershites are and all of those that we're going to talk about more, they had not been taken. And the Nile, from the Nile River, he's saying, because remember he mentioned Ekron, from the Nile River over to Ekron, and Ekron is right there at the top of the Gaza Strip. That had not been taken either. So the five major towns in this area that had many little few minor villages that were attached to them were Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And then minor villages such as Ava and the Gittites. And the Gittites were part of the inhabitants, or they lived near the city of Gath, around Gath. So these regions were never given as an inheritance to the nation of Israel because the kings and the cities that lived on this coast were never disposed of by Joshua or by Israel, but they were supposed to be, but they never were. And to this day, in the Gaza Strip, you know the trouble that the Gaza Strip groups of the Philistines, now called the Palestinians, the name changed because of a Caesar who changed the name from Philistines to Palestines. That was a change in his ruling, and everybody jihad to Caesar's ruling. If he called them Palestinians, they were Palestinians. Okay, that's just it. Changed the name by one little mention that was wrong, instead of calling them Philistines, and forever their name has been changed. But when we think of the Palestinians, they are Philistinians, okay? They were never delivered. Now the writer also tells us of the region of the Canaanites still to be taken in verse 4b. And all the land of the Canaanite and Merirah that belonged to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorite, and the land of Gebalite, and all of Lebanon, toward the east, from Baal Gad, below Mount Hermon, as far as Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon, as far as Misphath Merim, all of the Sidonians. Now, in this passage, the writer is giving specific points of reference to the land that belongs to the Canaanites and not yet taken by Joshua and should have been. Joshua had taken some of their land that belonged to Lebanon, but not all of it. He actually traces specific these locations as the new boundary land lines of the land that still belong to Lebanon and is controlled by the powerful city called Sidon. Tyre is not formed yet. Some men from Sidon will leave and go down and start a new market trade area called Tyre later on. But at this point in the story, it is just the city of Sidon there. Tyre has not been established yet. The descendants of Lebanon and the descendants of the city of Sidon were Canaanites. Joshua did not take their land. Basically, the passage tells us that the land of the Canaanites yet to be taken stretched from the coast of the Great Sea, from the northern border of the Gaza Strip, all the way up to Lebanon. From right here at the northern border of Gaza, where Ekron is, that's already not been taken this way, it has not been taken all the way to the north. They didn't get to the coast, is what we're trying to say here. Even though there was much land still to be taken from the Canaanites, because of Joshua's age, the Lord enacts the required division of the land that has been taken by Joshua and promised that the rest of the land would be taken one day. Verse number 6b. I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel, only allot it to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore apportion this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Well, we're glad the Lord can count, because two and a half tribes had already gotten the land on the east side, now the nine and a half on this side. And the Lord says, go ahead and allot it to the tribes, even though you don't possess it yet. Well, so in the Lord's mind, it is time to divide the land on the west side of the Jordan to nine and a half tribes of Israel, and the land not taken, still to be allotted anyway, it doesn't matter. So Joshua starts the task. Because Joshua's task of war was complete, he now had the task of dividing up the land. Others would take the land and incorporate it in the future if they can get it, and it's going to be squabbled over for the rest of time, I believe. Our writer then reminds us of the land taken, land given by Moses before his death on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Just a reminder. Remember, I've told you in the Hebrew, they tell a story and then they circle around and tell you more details about that story, and they say tell you something else, and they circle back around and tell you more details about a story they've already told you to bring it all in together, verse number 8. While the other half tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites, received their inheritance which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan in the east, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to them from Aor, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, with the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain of Medeba, as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the sons of Ammon, and Gilead, and the territory of the Gershites and the Maacathites, all of Mount Hermon, and all of Bashan, as far as Selkath, all the region of King On in Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Drea. For Moses struck them and dispossessed them. So at the northern border of the land of Moab, at the river Arnon, and going all the way north to Mount Hermon, first we see Reuben took the first portion from the south, Gad took the portion in the middle, and the half-tribe of Manasseh took the part above. Verse 13. But the sons of Israel did not dispossess the Gershites or the Maacathites, for Gersha and Maacath lived among Israel until this day. Until the book of Joshua was completed, these two groups were still living among the Israelites. Joshua did not conquer these two tribal areas. These tribes must have made a covenant with Joshua. They are Philistine tribes. They are not Canaanite tribes, and that's very important. Philistines are not Canaanites. Therefore, a covenant could be agreed upon according to the Lord, and it was very permissible. However, we are not told of such a covenant. As instructed by the Lord, there was land taken, land not given to the Levites in verse number 14. Only to the tribe of Levi he did not give an inheritance. The offering by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he spoke to him. Now with that, the writer begins to describe the tribal area assigned to Reuben in verse 15. So Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the sons of Reuben according to their families. This territory was from Ar, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, which is the city is in the middle of the valley, and on and all the plain of Medeba, Heshbon, and all the cities which are in the plain, Dibon, and Bamuth Baal, and Beth Baal Meon, and Gezer, and Kedemoth, and Kehath, and Kirathaim, and Sibnah, Zereth Shadar on the hill of the valley, and Beth Peor, and the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeremoth, even all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of King Sihon, of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses struck with the chiefs of Midian, Eve, Rechem, Zur, Hur, Reba, the prince of Sihon, who lived in the land. The sons of Israel also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, the diviner, with the sword among the rest of their slain. The border of the sons of Reuben was the Jordan. This was the inheritance of the sons of Reuben according to their families, the cities, and their villages. We also learn that Moses killed Balaam, who, had it not been for his donkey, would have been killed by the sword of the angel of the Lord, if you remember that story back in Numbers. And in short, the land of Reuben started at the Arnon River in its southern border and ended just north of Mount Nebo and bookend on the west of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River and the east of the King's Highway, which was the border of the tribal area of Ammon. We now come to the tribal area assigned to Gad in verse number 24. Moses also gave an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the sons of Gad, according to their families. Their territory was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the sons of Ammon, as far as Ar, which is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon, as far as Ramoth Mizpah, and Bethanim, and from Mahanaim, as far as the border of Debir, and in the valley of Beth-Harim, and Beth-Nimrah, and Sukkoth, and Zephon, and the rest of the king of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as a border, as far as the lower end of the Sea of Chinnereth. Beyond the Jordan to the east, this is the inheritance of the sons of Gad, according to their families, and the cities and their villages. So looking down on the inheritance of Gad from above, it looks like a cup, and I've already drawn it for you. It looks like a cup that is drawn here. As we pick up in verse 29 of chapter 13, we come to the assignment of the area for the half-tribe of Manasseh on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Verse 29 says, Moses also gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh, and it was for the half-tribe of the sons of Manasseh according to their families. The territory was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities. Also half of Gilead, with Ashtaroth and Edrei. The cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan were for the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for half of his sons of Machir, according to their families. These are the territories which Moses apportioned for inheritance in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho to the east. The southern border of the half-tribe of Manasseh followed the northern border of Gad, and the western border was the Sea of Chinnereth, and also the Jordan River, all the way to Mount Hermon and all the way down to the King's Highway to the land of Ammon and all the way down. 66 cities were involved, walled cities, and they all had little villages that were around them. And so with that, Manasseh is going to take that land all the way down to the river. But once again, the writer comes to us here in verse 33, and he tells us about Levi and that they were not going to inherit any land. Just a reminder again, probably the third or the fourth time we've heard that. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as he had promised them. So as all we've already heard, Israel, the Levites are getting no land, but the Lord is their inheritance. The Lord is with them. And so that ends chapter 13. And all the land on the east side of the Jordan River had been distributed just as planned by the Lord.